Hello and welcome to the European Hoops Podcast. We are a Sports Ethos presentation. We bring you all the coverage you need of the EuroLeague. Three times a week, every Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, we recap and preview all the action and cover all the news surrounding the competition. Join us on this ride and learn more about some of the best basketball played in the world. Make sure you don't miss any episodes by subscribing to the podcast and follow us on Twitter at Ethos EuroLeague. My name is André, and these are my co-hosts, Tiago Cordeiro and Diogo Valente. Are you having a good one today, Tiago?
I'm fine, André. What about you, Diogo?
Yeah, I'm good too. Let's get to it, guys.
Let's start with some programming notes. We keep receiving requests of many of you asking us to, besides covering and breaking down all the action of the EuroLeague, to use this platform to educate our listeners on the competition. And we will love to do that. It is an amazing thing that the EuroLeague is growing and the interest about it is spiking. So we decided to, instead of two episodes a week, we will bring you three episodes a week, every Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. We will be previewing each day of each round individually, and we will be bringing you a recap of all the action of each round of the EuroLeague. In addition to that, we will be adding debates and more informative segments about EuroLeague players, teams, and everything that happens around the competition. On this episode, we will be previewing the five games from March 2nd, the first day of EuroLeague Round 26, and we will debate who the best point guard of the EuroLeague is. But let's start with the news that broke recently. Unfortunate ones come from Valencia, where Kyle Alexander should miss 4 weeks. And with the EuroLeague market closing on March 1st, this is the last chance for teams to register new players to play for them the rest of the way. After, on the last episode, speaking about Palmaro potentially joining Barcelona, sounds like the parts are still working on reaching a deal ahead of the deadline. Looks like there is interest from both sides, but they haven't yet been able to agree on financial terms. The big news come from Turkey, where Fenerbahce and Tyler Dorsey seem to have reached an agreement where the player will join the team for the rest of the season and for the next one as well. Usually these contracts only have NBA out, with the players still aiming to look for an NBA career or to another chance with the NBA. Dorsey is a 6'4 Greek-American guard that will boost the talent and depth of the one of the teams that might have one of the best rosters of the EuroLeague. But before we debate that, Diogo, what do you think about Tyler Dorsey as a player and the way he will be fitting with this Fenerbahce roster?
For me, I think Tyler is an elite EuroLeague level player. I think he's a very good guard who can play with the ball or without the ball. A very good shooter. And I think he can help Fenerbahce a lot. I think he'll probably come off the bench, at least at first. And I think he can provide very elite scoring off the bench for them. And I think that's an area where they need to improve. So, yeah, I think he's going to be very good for Fenerbahce, and they are one of the main contenders.
You said that at least at first he would come off the bench. But if he were to start, where do you think he will start? Will they go for a three-guard lineup?
Yeah, that probably won't happen, at least as a starting lineup, because what Nigel Hayes gives them defensively, I think is very important for them. So that probably won't happen. But I think at times throughout the games, we could see a three-guard lineup. And I think Tyler's going to have to close the games for them, because I think he will be their best offensive player.
If he closes the game for them, who is sitting? Because we have seen Gudurić playing at such a high level. They have Kalates, they have Wilbekin. I assume they both will be on that closing lineup. So we will have Dorsey and they will be sitting Gudurić, that has been one of the best players for them so far.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that for Itudis to figure it out. But I think they're all good, great options, obviously. I just think Tyler, between them, I think Tyler's the better player. So that's the only reason.
Yeah, and it clearly makes their depth on those positions like ridiculous. And we will be debating on the next episode who the best EuroLeague team is, and they will certainly be up there. Tiago, what are your thoughts about Fenerbahce signing Dorsey?
In my opinion, was a good signing, because they didn't need Tyler Dorsey, but they wanted to add depth and quality. So it's always good if you want to improve on that side. Tyler Dorsey is a good scorer, he's a pretty good shooter too. And I see him and Wilbekin playing at the same time. It will be a fun thing to watch. About the question that you asked, Diogo, it's a good addict to have, to sit Gudurić or to sit Wilbekin or Nigel Hayes. It's a good addict, so It's always fun to watch the coach decisions about the about their stuff.
This will allow them to decide who to play based on matchups, based on hot hand. They will have always options. You mentioned that him and Wilbekin will be part of their closing five or stronger five. We can call it however we want. Do you see them playing with another guard, with Kalates, for example, or with going with more size and having Wilbekin and Dorsey being the backcourt?
No, they can afford to go with a three guard lineup because they need defense too. So I think that Nigel Hayes and even Goodrich are a good option to keep on the three spots.
They for sure have a lot of flexibility with this roster. We are still waiting on confirmation from the team side, but it seems to be very close to a done deal. We know that in EuroLeague these things are not always so straightforward, and sometimes we have last minute surprises. So let's see if it's confirmed. But if it's confirmed, it really boosts the chances for Fenerbahce to compete for this year's title. Let's start previewing the round 26 and let's preview the first day of action. And the first game that we will have is Bayern Munich against Red Star. Coming from a very disappointing loss against Alba, Red Star is now in 13. Two wins below the 8th spot and the playoffs. Any game is a final for them moving forward. If they still aspire to make it all the way to the playoffs, they certainly won't have an easy path to get there. I am sure that Red Star will want to bounce back and have a strong showing in Munich. And with Campazzo likely being able to join the team for this one, they will come into this game giving their very best. Bayern Munich won't be an easy opponent for them to do this against. Bayern ranks 8th in defensive rating with 113.8 points per game allowed per 100 possessions. Thiago, do you think that Campazzo can be the key to unlock Red Star offense, and will they get the firepower that they need to get this win against Bayern?
Yeah, I think that Campazzo is the key for this game and for the rest of the season of Crvena Zvezda. Expect him to push the pace when it's on the court, because it's what is missing on Crvena Zvezda, because they already have Vildoza, they have a lot of firepower with Nedovic too. But I think that Campazzo finding better chances for the others to score will be a major addition for the rest of the season. So with him on the court, I expect Crvena Zvezda to win this one. It will be a good one because Bayern Munich already is kind of like in a full strength. Not in full strength, you know that it's missing some key players. But some of the guys already played in the last game. So it will be a good matchup.
Yeah, Bayern is way healthier than they have been, but they were lacking at points some 6-7 players, and that makes life harder for them. Is Campazzo the player to watch on this game for you?
In my opinion, yes, of course, because I think that he is playing with a chip on his shoulder because EuroLeague didn't allow him to play, so he wants to show them a good one.
Especially after Argentina being surprisingly eliminated and they won't be part of the World Cup. That's something that hasn't happened in the last decade. I'm sure that Campazzo will want to have a good one. Diogo, what are your takes on this one?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a very interesting game. Obviously, the Campazzo situation that we have to look for. I think, is like Thiago said, I think Campazzo is going to try to push the pace. And I think he's going to do it at a higher level than the Red Star has been able to do in the previous games. And I think that's going to help them a lot because I think they're going to control the turnover numbers and be more efficient on the fast breaks and on quick transitions. But Bayern is a tough team to beat. Like we've been saying this for a long time, Trincheri is a very good coach and he has this team very well prepared. So I think it's going to be a very good game. I think I will lean towards Red Star to win it, but it's going to be very tough.
I also lean to Red Star to win this one, mostly because of the need that they have. And I think, like Thiago said, they will want to prove their value on this one and to prove that this can be a playoff roster. Tiago, who are you picking to win this game?
Srbena Zvezda.
So we all agree on this one. But I also think that Bayern will be able to explore or to try to find whatever are the weak spots of Red Star and go for it. Diogo, how do you see Red Star using the three elite guards that they will have on their roster now?
Unlike some other teams in EuroLeague, I don't think they can use them three at the same time, because in terms of size, I think they are pretty small for one of them to be playing the three. So I think they're going to try to have two of them on the court at all times. At least that's what I would do. But I think it's going to be hard for them to use all three at the same time.
Having two of them on the court all the time, I think it will be imperative for them, and I think it will be very, very productive for that team's offense. Tiago, who do you see being the two best ones to close the game? Is Nedovic sitting?
Yeah, it's a shame for me, but I think that Nedovic is the guy who will sit. Nedovic having an odd night, I think that he'll have to close the game. But in the normal ways, I think that he has to go to the bench to give space to Campazzo and to Vildoza.
Do you agree, Diogo?
Yeah, I think it depends on the game and on the matchup, but I think the best option is Campazzo with Nedovic.
Okay, and Vildoza will be the one, the odd man off on this one. It will be interesting to follow, but it's good problems to have. Like we were speaking with Fenerbahce rotations, these are the good problems to have that allow the elite coaches like Ivanovic is to make the hard decisions and help their team to get wins. Let's continue and let's preview the next game between Barcelona and Žalgiris. Barcelona is in a great momentum, winning their last four games. They are executing at a very high level and playing at home. They probably will be a nightmare matchup for Žalgiris with all their size and their defensive execution against a Žalgiris team that have been struggling to find offensive solutions. This might be I see this one turning into a very hard one. When these two teams met in Kaunas, Žalgiris got the 73-72 win. For Žalgiris, winning this game would be a big step in their playoff hunt, where they are currently in 10th place, tied with other five teams for sixth. Can they do it, Tiago? Can Žalgiris win this one?
I don't think so. I expect Barcelona to do the same that Real Madrid did, to close the wings and to try to stop a guy like Kulanovas and Brazdeikis. And I expect Žalgiris to not find a solution for that. So
Kalinic is as good as it gets for those defensive assignments, isn't he?
True. An elite.
Which matchups or individual performance will you be looking at on this game?
Kalinic on some of the both guys that I told. And I would like to see Isaiah Taylor versus against a guy like Corey Higgins, for example. I think that Satoranski might stick with him, but it would be fun to watch.
Yeah, but you are favoring Barcelona on this one.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Diogo, what are your thoughts on this game?
I agree with Thiago that this game could be similar to Real Madrid one with Žalgiris. I don't think it's going to be a 27-point blowout, but I think it's going to be a comfortable win for Barcelona. In the game in Lithuania, Mirotic was out still, and Žalgiris still had Keenan Evans. So I think that's going to factor a lot in this game. But I'm very curious to see Mirotic against Roland Smith, because they were teammates, they know each other, and I just love both those players. So I think it's going to be a pretty good matchup at the floor. But I expect a comfortable Barcelona win.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that matchup as well myself. If you have to pick a way for Žalgiris to be able to get this one, for me, they will have to get extremely hot from three to be able to compete. What do you see them being able to do in order to compete for this game?
I really don't believe that they can, but getting hot from three and driving to kick it out, and basically to create Barcelona to go into defensive rotations. I think that's going to be their best option to get open shots. But I just don't see it happening, man. Barcelona has been playing very good basketball, and they're just a much better team.
Let's see if Žalgiris can find solutions and surprises and in order to keep their position in the hunt for the playoffs, especially with them having the Final Four happening at home. They for sure are motivated to do their best and try to find a way to get there, even if it's a hard one. The next game on the docket is Panathinaikos against Efes. I know I will be watching this one very closely. I think this can be a letdown spot for Efes, and you guys probably will tell me that I am wrong. The Efes team is motivated after their win against Asvel in the last round, but Panathinaikos is improving and started to play at a higher level. I expect Ponitka to be closer to 100% on this game. Panathinaikos is also a way better team at home with a record of 6 wins and 6 losses than on the road, where they have only won twice. I think these are all ingredients that we need for a great game. For Efes, trailing one game behind of playoff spots, this is an important win for them. What's their path to achieve it, Tiago?
First, they have to win this one, because with Žalgiris, I expect Žalgiris to lose the next game. So Efes will be in a much better position to find their playoff spot. I'm looking forward in this game to see Clyburn versus Dwayne Bacon. The two wings going back and forth will be a fun thing to watch. Efes needs to push their pace because Panathinaikos' rotation is kind of small. I know they have Ponitka now, but it will be an interesting one to follow up.
Who would you pick to win this game?
I'm winning to Efes for sure, but I can see Panathinaikos winning this one, but I'm winning to Efes.
Yeah, I think it will mostly be potentially be a competitive game. It won't be surprising also to see Efes performing at a high level and dominating the matchup. It can happen, but I think this is a spot where Panathinaikos can give them some trouble. And you were making mention about Žalgiris potentially losing with Barcelona and that being a way for them to get closer to the playoff hunt. And we still haven't previewed this game, but we also will have Baskonia-Valencia where one of the teams will have to lose. So this is really a very good chance for Efes to catch up and to get there. So this is a must win for them for sure. Do you agree with Thiago?
I agree. I'm also leaning Efes, so yeah, I agree with that. I also agree that the matchup between Dwayne Bacon and Will Clyburn is going to be very good to watch. But for me, what I think Efes needs to do in this game, obviously, like Thiago said, and like we've been saying for weeks now, they need to push the pace. But I think they got to punish Panathinaikos inside because besides Papagiannis, Panathinaikos doesn't really have another option at the center spot with Gudaitis being hurt. So, and Efes, not that they are amazing centers, but they have Zizic, Plyce, Dunstan, Singleton can play the 4 or the 5. So I think they have a lot of options. And I know Ataman is not known for his rotations, but I think he will need to switch up between them and punish the Panathinaikos inside to create fouls on Papagiannis, and then they can just dominate. I think that's their best way to do it. But yeah, I think Efes is going to win this game, mostly because they have to. Like, they have no choice here. So yeah, that's my take on this game.
I am going against you guys, and I'm picking Panathinaikos to win this one. I just think there is a real chance here. And I just think that this can really be a letdown spot for Efes. I wonder, and I would like to hear your guys' opinion about this. We saw in the last game Derek Williams having a good game and giving some trouble to the force of Milano. Efes has good options, but they lack some size on that position as well. Do you guys think that he can be, again, a key for Panathinaikos on this one and replicate the good performance he had on the last one?
Derek Williams obviously has been very good for Panathinaikos, and he has had success offensively in the last couple of games. I think it's going, like we said, we mentioned Dwayne Bacon and Will Clyburn, but I think Elijah Bryant can rotate with Will, guarding both Bacon and Derek Williams. So I think between those four guys, we're going to have very interesting matchups. I think all of them are going to have good games because they are all very good players. But I just think Efes, in the end, has more talent, and I think they're going to come out on top. But I believe Derek Williams can have a very good game. Yeah.
Yeah. Thiago, are the forwards the keys for this game?
I think so, because both teams, the forwards are the major contributors on the offensive, because you got Will Clyburn on one side and Bacon and Derrick Williams on the other. I can see a guy like Amath Mbai sticking with Derrick Williams, but I think that Derrick Williams will have a upper hand on this one.
Yeah, Mbai that you just mentioned is, for me, one of the keys for the success of FS the rest of the way. And I think that will be an interesting matchup for us to be looking at as well. But moving on to the next game, and we will have... This is, I will label this one as the Tiago Cordeiro matchup of the week. We will have Partizan against Alba. Partizan was protagonist of one of the more exciting games of the last round. They came out short against Fenerbahce, where they lose by 3 points at home. On the other hand, we have Alba that comes into this game as the surprise of the previous round, where they surprisingly blew out Red Star in a road win. Partizan leads the five-team tie for sixth place, and I am certain that they will want to control this game and get this win. Can Alba surprise us once again on their Serbian road trip, Tiago?
I don't think so on this one. I think it will be a bounce-back game from Partizan. And Alba Berlin doesn't have a match to stop Partizan scorers like Ponter, even Dante Exum. So I expect a Partizan win in the 10-point range. And I'm looking forward to see my guy Procida going against Dante Exum. It'll be a fun thing to watch. Diogo, what's your takes about this one?
Yeah, I agree that Alba won't be able to repeat the upset like they did against Red Star. But I just think that Matias Lasorte is going to dominate this game, because Alba doesn't really have a center, or at least a reliable center. So I think he's going to have a very good game. I think he's going to dominate the paint. And overall, the Partizan has more talent all around, on the wings, even at the guard spot. So I think Partizan is going to get a comfortable win.
I agree with you guys. I'm also picking Partizan on this one. And from the Tiago Cordeiro matchup of the week, I'm moving on to the Diogo Valente matchup of day one of round 26. Monaco versus Maccabi. We'll have guard play all over the place. This will be, at the very least, a very entertaining game to follow. The fifth Monaco will be welcoming the eighth Maccabi. Both teams with very strong offenses, and both teams struggling on defense. Monaco has the sixth most points scored per game and the seventh most points allowed, while Maccabi has the eighth most points scored and the sixth most points allowed per game. This should be a high-scoring affair where Monaco is, in my opinion, favorite. Maccabi has a 3-10 road record this season, and getting this win will be a massive for their playoff aspirations. Can they do it, Yao?
I think that Monaco will win this one. I think that Maccabi will have a good one. I think that this will be a high-scoring game. But Monaco playing at home can't afford to lose this one. And I see Maccabi trying to do what Barcelona did to Mike James. But the difference here is that they're lacking defense, as you mentioned it. So they can't afford to do that for the whole game. So I'm picking Monaco to win this one.
Duke, who is scoring more points? Which guards are scoring more points on this game?
probably Mike James. But like you said, this is, to me, is my matchup of the week, not only in teams-wise, but also players, because with Lorenzo Brown, Wade Baldwin, Mike James, Elio Kobo, Jordan Boyd, I mean, when you talk about guard play, I think this is just the elite level of it. So I can't wait to watch this game. I think it's going to be, like you guys said, a high-scoring game, very competitive. And I'm going to give the edge to Monaco, just because... In the game in Tel Aviv, Monaco was leading the whole game, and then in the second half, Maccabi came back and ultimately got the win. So I think Monaco is going to have like a revenge game here, but I think it's going to be pretty close, and I think it's going to be the game of the week.
It will be for sure one of the most entertaining games this week, and it's a must watch. It's way more important in terms of standings for Maccabi, because Monaco just has these two wins advantage over those five teams that are tied for sixth place, giving them some comfort. They, of course, they won't want to slide, but with 9 rounds left in the EuroLeague, I don't think Monaco's place in the playoffs is really at risk at this moment. Winning this one will be huge for Maccabi, but I also agree that Monaco are favorites. But let's continue with guard play and let's figure out who the best point guard of the EuroLeague is. For this, we had our two experts, Tiago Cordeiro and Diogo Valente, selecting their top 5 point guards in the EuroLeague. As we know, and everybody that follows basketball knows, basketball is more and more a positionless game, and sometimes it's hard to define a player's position. We know that some players can play both guard positions, some players are guards, forwards. That's okay. We will just define for us who are the top 5 best point guards in the EuroLeague, and we will debate who the best one is. We have several contenders, and according to the player index rating, we have players like Misic, Mike James, Lorenzo Brown. We have Slokas, we have Chris Jones, we have Musa, even we have Nando De Colo, we have Wade Baldwin, Dante Exum. We have a lot of big names that can be part of this mat. Let's start with Diogo, and who were your notable misses who didn't make to your top 5?
Okay, to start off, I just want to say, my list, obviously we can argue if guys are point guards or shooting guards. I was debating if I was going to go with the best point guards in terms of like floor generals or just the best players playing the position. And I think I went with the best players at the position. So I just want to mention that Napier and Campazzo did not make my list because they didn't play enough games for to be considered. Okay, and then my honorable mentions are Chris Jones from Valencia, and it's Nick Kalaris from Fenerbahce. Tiago, I know you're going to be mad at me, but I just think the other 5 guys are better players.
Wow. Okay. Wow. This is shocking. This is very promising. Tell me something, Diogo, since you mentioned Napier and Campazzo, where would you rank them on your top 5? If we don't know yet your top 5, that's okay, but where would you rank them? How high would you rank them? Because I'm assuming that you will have them on your top 5.
I think Napier would probably be an honorable mention as well, but Campazzo would certainly be in my top 5, probably at number 3.
Okay.
Maybe 4? 3-4, yeah.
Okay. Let's looking forward to see your top 5 without Kalatis. That's big. Tiago, who are your honorable mentions, and don't tell me that Kalatis is one of them.
Hell no, Kalatis is 100% in my top 5. My honorable mention, I would put Kostas Lucas, Darius Thompson. Unfortunately, I have to put Keenan Evans. He was making a good season. And Chris Jones from Valencia too.
Let's start from...
Hold on. I am very curious about your top 5 now.
Sorry, but spoiler alert, Misic is a shooting guard for me. Okay. So it's not on my... Okay?
Okay.
No, that's absolutely fine. Like we spoke in the beginning. So we have our criteria. We have Nick Kalatis outside of one of our top 5s. Let's get to it. We start from bottom to top, and let's start with Diogo. Who is in 5th place as the best point guard in EuroLeague?
For me, my 5th place, this might be a little bit of recency bias, but what he's been doing this year, I think I had to put him in here. And I have Thomas Walcombe from Olympiacos. I think I didn't put Slukas because Slukas comes off the bench, and I think Thomas Walcombe carries most of the weight, mostly when Slukas is off the bench, but also when he's in. And I think he's the best guard defender in EuroLeague. So I took that into consideration, and I have him number 5.
Tiago, what about you? Who is your 5th place?
In my 5th spot, I got a point guard from Baskonia, from United States, Marcus Howard. He's a good 3-point shooter. He's having a good season. And I like him a lot, the way he's playing. He's for sure in my top 5.
So we have defense against offense in fifth places of your both of your top fives, but for sure two deserving players that deserve to be in consideration in this conversation. Diogo, who is in fourth for you?
My fourth is the point guard from Czech Republic. I have Tomáš Satoranský here. I think he's one of the best leaders in EuroLeague, one of the best floor generals, and just his size at the position that allows him to play defense and to bother other guards. I think his impact on Barcelona's team is unmatched. So, yeah, I have him top four.
Tomáš Satoranský is certainly one of the best guards in the EuroLeague. Tiago, who do you have on fourth place?
In my fourth spot, I got the Greek guard from Fenerbahce, Nick Kalaris. He's such a good leader and such a good floor general. So I have to put him on the fourth spot. Unfortunately, the top guys that I have are kind of like better versions of him, two of them. So yeah, I had to put him on the fourth spot.
I must confess, when I look at the point guard position, I think about floor generals and leaders for the team. And I guess your fourth places would be on my top two. So I'm very interested to see where we are heading and who will be the best point guard of the EuroLeague. Let's move on. Diogo, who is in third place for you?
My third place, I have Maccabi's point guard, the American guard that plays for Spain, Lorenzo Brown. I think he's having an amazing season. I think you can argue he's the best playmaker in EuroLeague. I think he's up there with Mike James and those guys. His impact on Maccabi's team has been, obviously, we can all see how they did without him. So I think he's a top three point guard in EuroLeague. His playmaking ability is insane. So I have him above Satoranský. It was very, very close, but I have him top three.
What about you, Diak?
In my third spot, I got Lorenzo Brown too, same as Diogo, as for the same reasons. I was considering to put him on the second spot, but my second spot is a better offensive player than Lorenzo Brown. So.
Okay, so give it to us. Who is in your second spot?
Okay, my second spot is Mike James, from the American guard from Monaco. He's having a good year. He's on an MVP race. You can know the difference when he's on the court and he's off the court. In my opinion, he's an elite scorer. The better one in EuroLeague this season. So yeah, I got him on the second spot.
Okay, Diogo, what about you? Who is second?
Yeah, my number two is also Mike James. I think he's probably the best scorer at the guard position. He's just a very complete guard, even though he's undersized. I think, like Lorenzo Brown, his playmaking ability is off the charts. And yeah, I think he's, like we talked about in the previous episode, he's number two on the MVP race. So I got to have him top two.
So he's number two on the MVP race. The number one is a power forward. Therefore, he's second on the point guards. Is my math correct?
Yeah, your math is correct.
So give it to us. Who is the number one point guard of the EuroLeague for you, Diogo?
My number one point guard is from Efes, Vasil Misic. Even though you can argue he plays the two, I think Shane Larkin is more of the scorer and Vasil Misic has more of the ball handling duties. So I think I consider him the point guard. I just think his ability to play the pick and roll, to drive, and to get to the lane is very high. So, I don't know, man. Like, looking at what he's done in his EuroLeague career, being a champion back-to-back, MVP multiple times. So, I think he deserves this, and he's obviously still a great player. The team is just not having the success like these other guys. But he's still an elite point guard, and I think he's the best point guard in EuroLeague.
I wouldn't argue about Misic level. He is elite. He's one of the best players in the EuroLeague. What I want to ask you is, like, what makes you put Misic ahead of Mike James on this season of the EuroLeague as the best point guard?
I think size matters, and Mike is not a great defender. Offensively, he's maybe as good, maybe even better than Misic. I think Misic is a more complete player, though. That's the only reason.
Yeah, it's easier to build around Misic, and his size gives him some advantages in relation to Mike James, as you just said. So I do understand why would you have him in first place. But you already said that Misic will be in the shooting guard position for you, Thiago. So who is your number one point guard?
You just need to do the math. So my number one spot is a guard from Barcelona, from Czech Republic, a former NBA player too, is Tomáš Satoranský. He's a better version of Nick Kalaitis and a younger version too. He controls the pace of the game in a better way that those guys that I previously mentioned. And the difference here with him and Kalaitis is that he's an offensive threat in the scoring way. So I have to put him on the number one spot.
Yeah, and also, like Diogo just mentioned, Misic, his size gives him an advantage and makes him a more effective defensive player on the other side of the court. All right, guys, we went over our top fives of best point guards in the EuroLeague. We break down the players and we debated why they rank where they rank. Diogo, give us your final top five from first to fifth.
Okay, so my number one is Vasil Misic. Number two, Mike James. Number three, Lorenzo Brown. Number four, Tomáš Satoranský. And number five, Thomas Walkup. And honorable mentions to Chris Jones and Nick Kalaitis.
Tiago, what about you? Give us your top five from first to fifth.
So Tomáš Satoranský, Mike James, Lorenzo Brown, Nick Kalaitis, and Marcus Howard.
Very well, guys. This was another episode of European Hoops. Make sure to tune in Thursday when we will preview all the action of day two of round 26 and debate who the best shooting guard of EuroLeague is. Subscribe to the podcast and follow us on Twitter at Ethos EuroLeague, where we bring you any news that break about the competition, our daily picks, must-watch games, injury reports, and our trades in the end of each day of competition, bringing you all the highlights of the action. My name is Andre, and I'll be seeing you guys soon.
Thank you, guys. Hope you enjoyed the same as we did, and stay tuned for more.
Thank you, guys. See you all next episode.